Today the message, the title of the message is What Must I Do to Be Saved? Can I just ask you, do you know what must you do to be saved? Do you know? I'm not trying to taunt you in any way, because Christianity is about God saving His people. And do you have the confidence that you are saved? And I really mean it. Okay, what does it mean to be saved? Saved from what? Right? Do you even pay attention to things like that? I had to go to Jersey today because a friend of mine who is a pastor got sick, and I had to cover for him and preach the word of God. And you know, it was just a little adventurous try to get here in 1 hour, but he's sick and he's taking 2 weeks of leave of absence, so I just went to cover for him. I got the message last week, just a few days ago, and I share the same message to this old congregation. The average of that congregation is about 60 years old. Okay, many of you have many more years to go, perhaps, but much younger congregation, and I want to ask you this question: what must I do to be saved or to inherit eternal life? And I hope that's the cry of your heart, because without it, you're running on a highway, as I shared last week, with your eyes closed. You're not even looking where you're going, and you're just running. And that's pretty foolish. And that's without fear. Can I ask you, do you feel fearful standing before the Lord? Do you feel fearful? What do you fear? Standing before the Almighty God, it should be a fearful thing until your heart is settled with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today is from Acts chapter 16. And this is the question the jailer asked in a dire situation. A lot of times, until we fall into a dire situation, you don't seek God. That's us, human beings, because we are very smart. Let me put it that way, right? Until you really see you are in desperate need of Him, you do not seek Him. You're probably thinking that I have many more years to go, and there is a bright future in front of me. I don't know about that. We just came back from Lola Ministry, and I just want to share a story. Okay, a sister shared during a servants' meeting one night, out of the blue, and we just asked, so what are you learning? What are you picking up? And this sister, who doesn't go to this church, shared, I forgave my dad. I forgave my dad. I missed it. It was just a little bit too noisy. And then people were cheering, and I didn't know what was happening, okay? And I heard what happened, and I texted her this week after we come back on Wednesday, is it okay to share the story? And she said, of course, by all means. The story goes, her parents got divorced when she was 6 years old. Okay, she has an older sister, and once they were divorced, father took two girls to Korea, raised them for 3 years, and he couldn't do it. So he brought them back to U.S. and gave them to the mother, and then for 12 years, he disappeared. He just gave up and disappeared. And about 7 years ago, okay, after that 12 years, her older sister found the father through agency. Can you imagine that? Finding through an agency. And she didn't fill in with all the detailed information, but she said she really didn't feel like he was her father. And she was very, very bitter and angry. But during this Light of Love ministry, we have a message on the gospel about forgiveness, which I think is the key. It's the key. And she said in her text, I couldn't do it. It's been so long. She feels that he wronged her so bad. Can't do it. But when we went to the chapel, and after hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, Spirit just ministered to her. And she was able to let it go. And she described huge burden lifted off of my heart. So she right away acted on it. He's still in Korea. She called him. And can you come to U.S. during this time in April when there is a Light of Love ministry happening in Korean, because she wants to reconcile in that mountain with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not a Christian. I mean, obviously not, right? So when she asked, he agreed. Okay, what an amazing thing like that. I mean, maybe you heard this kind of story oftentimes, so maybe not exciting to you, but something like this happened to one person, that's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. Her life will never be the same. Okay? Can I just ask you? Because I share this and many people were bothered and wonder why you were bothered. But I think one of the most important relationships in your life, and I say this with much compassion and conviction, is probably your relationship with your father, your biological father. I know. Whoa, you say it so easily. You don't know what my life looked like. I don't. But I've seen over the years enough. But I say this with much hope, not to disturb you, but how could that not be important? If you think about it, you were born of him. Because of him, you exist. And you don't have a clear relationship with your own father. How can you build any other relationship? The Christian message is this, right? Basic Christian message is this. God needs to forgive you. That's the priority. It's not that you need to forgive someone. That's not the priority. In fact, you do not have the ability, no desire to do so until you understand the mercy of God, don't you think? Do you want it? I know. I don't know your whole family story. I don't, so don't try to think that I'm speaking to you personally. No, I'm not trying to do that. I don't try to do that. But I try to the congregation that I'm called to share the word of God. Okay? Do you have a clear relationship with the Lord? Okay? Do you feel... you have a clear relationship, clear mercy, forgiveness relationship with the Lord? If you're not sure, I think that's probably the priority you need to look into, because what must I do to be saved? What if the car crashes tomorrow? What's going to happen, right? What's going to happen? And I really want to ask this question. Because when that question was asked, this is what Paul and Silas said in prison at Philippi. Believe in the Lord, you will be saved, you and your household. Okay? Now, that's a very odd, strange theology. You believe in the Lord, and you'll be saved, and you and your household? How's that work? Isn't it salvation by your own faith? Absolutely is. Then how is it that Bible says, and Paul says in Second Missionary Journey in the book of Acts, you will be saved and you and your household? How does that work? Can I just ask you before I answer that question, do you care about salvation of your family members? Do you? I'm just asking you. Do you not care? Then what do you care? Seriously, if salvation is about eternity, right? And I was going to just mention the entire Bible, okay? This is my Bible. Entire Bible is about salvation. God saving his people. Did you know that? I don't believe in Bible. Well, you should look into it. Okay, you should definitely look into it. If Bible is pure, and if it is true what it claims, you need to look into it. C.S. Lewis said, if Bible is not true, Christ is a myth, and there's all kinds of mistakes in Christianity and the Bible, you know, whatever you do, you don't miss much. C.S. Lewis, okay, it's not me. C.S. Lewis, okay? But if Bible is true, right, and Christ is real, and what it claims is pure and true, if you don't pay attention to it, your consequence will be eternal. That's what C.S. Lewis says. Sounds pretty threatening, no? But it should. Okay? It really should, brothers and sisters. It says, believe in the Lord and you'll be saved, and you and your household. And my question to you is, as you partake in this communion, do you care about anything about salvation of your family members? If not, that's a pretty sad stage you are in right now. Sad stage. And I say this because Stella shared, her burdens are lifted. You can't even see straight with that kind of burden. Did you know that? You can't even see straight with that kind of burden. But Jesus came to bore your burden, your sin and burden. Okay? My brothers and sisters, how does it work? Believe in the Lord, you'll be saved, and you and your household. You're running so hard in your career, in your pursuit of whatever you're pursuing, right? Whether it is a graduate school, seminary, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're pursuing, what are you pursuing? Putting those aside, do you think that makes sense at all? It doesn't make sense at all. It really doesn't make sense at all. Believe in the Lord, you'll be saved, you and your household. I think this is how it works. I really do believe. When Christ comes to your heart, Malachi chapter 4, right? Prophesying about coming of Messiah. When he comes, what happens is a beautiful picture. The heart of the fathers will turn to their children and children to their fathers. That's why. When Christ comes, really begin to minister to your heart, it'll turn your heart to your children and children to their parents. Now, I know that's disturbing, because if that's not happening in my heart, in my life right now, that's a pretty troublesome statement. It should be. It should be. Because our heart, let alone the head, is in the wrong place. It really is. If you care more about your child doing well in this world than eternal destiny, I don't think you understand grace. I don't think so. At all, you understand grace. And you're taking bread and wine in vain without understanding anything, let alone believing it. I'm sharing this today because I think this is the question you ought to be asking. It's a dire question. I think it's a desperate question. What must I do to be saved or inherit eternal life? Do you have an answer? Do you have an answer? Come on, people. Do you have an answer? I hope you do. Then you could begin to live this life more, I think, logically. Right? I think you need to have that. So when we say believe in the Lord, I think the key statement is believe in the Lord. What does that mean? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was contemplating about this. What did Paul and Silas meant in first century, in that setting, in city of Philippi, to believe in the Lord? Is that to know? It's got to be more than that. You all know. But life is just doesn't make match. It doesn't make any sense. Is that believing? I don't think that's what it is. So it's much more than that, right? I just want to just show you what Spurgeon has to say. Oh, let me share this, okay? I used to quote this quote a lot, and it makes so much sense if you just put your mind into it, okay? I believe in Christ. You say you believe in Jesus, this is what it means. Like I believe in the sun, right there, sun. Not because I see the sun, but because by it, I see everything else. Does that make sense to you? That's what it means to believe. Let me go to, so what must I do to be saved and believe in the Lord? Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household. I think this is Christianity. This is the Christianity. Believe in the Lord. So key phrase is believe in the Lord. What does it mean? Spurgeon, I found this quotation, exactly what I want to share. My faith, in other words, what I believe, it does not rest on what I am. Okay, we are all lost sinners deserving punishment. Okay, it's not resting what I am, what shall be, or feel, or know, and what it means. But it's what, who Christ is. Do you know who Christ is? Right? And what he has done, and then what he's doing right now. So three things. Who he is. Who is Jesus? Number two, what did he do? And number three, what he's doing now. Three things. That's what you believe. Okay. I just love this picture. I ask you to take a look at this, because this is what kind of sums up the entire Christianity. Christ crucified, okay? Let me explain Christ first and then explain Jesus, okay? The cross was predicted several thousand before Jesus was crucified. By the way, we're going to be talking about the validity or the authority or the reliability of the scripture, okay? Next week, we ask you to pray for this. But this was prophesied in a long time ago in Deuteronomy. But this happened in Roman world, thousands of years later. Okay? Thousands of years later. And yet, prediction was this. The Messiah will hung on a tree. Now, what does hanging on a tree means? If you read Deuteronomy, it's about God and his people and covenant. Okay? In other words, you are my people and I'm your God. If you do this, you'll be blessed. If you disobey, you will be punished and cursed. Okay, so certain things, certain punishment. But so if you read Deuteronomy, you'll probably think, oh man, this is so boring. But there is a section that God's people gets capital punishment. You kill someone and you get the capital punishment, right? You do something terrible, God orders that you be killed. I think one of them is sexual sins, whole bunch of them, okay? Now, if someone is punished by death, isn't that enough? It is, but God ordered his people to be hung on a tree. What does that mean? Two things. Number one, public display of condemnation. Public display of your sin, public display. We want people to know that person offended God and the community, and he is being punished, he's condemned. Now, Jesus is being condemned, right? Second thing it means separation. He is not one of us, which is a horrible thing. Do you like to be kind of like bullied and left out by yourself? We so fear that. Don't you fear that? We so fear men. You don't want to be separated like that and condemned. You don't even like the public speech. Why? Because you don't want to look bad in front of people. But this is what cross meant. Separation and public display of condemnation. Okay, that's what the cross is. Okay? So when we say believe in Jesus, we believe that he was publicly displayed and condemned, and he was separated from God and his people. But isn't he Son of God? Isn't he holy? Isn't he sinless? Absolutely. Absolutely. Then how do we make sense out of this? This person, number one, who is he? According to John's gospel, he is in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. A Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, the Word became human being. He is God, and he's man. He's the only God, and he's the only man. And he is sinless. He lived 33 years of perfected life without any sin, unlike us. It's hard for us to believe. But, you know, if you look, read the Bible, these are some of the things that he's different, okay? He spoke with authority, unlike us. Unlike, human teachers, Pharisees, right? He spoke with authority, and he healed and performed miracles, right? Just as it was prophesied hundreds of years ago. Blind eyes were opened. Deaf ears were opened. Mute were able to speak. All kinds of skin disease were healed. Lepers. You know, leprosy back then, I don't know whether you ever saw the leprosy. There are some movies and YouTube. Leprosy, those of you who saw the movie Ben-Hur, there's a leprosy involved. Leprosy was incurable disease in biblical time. And it signified curse. So you're not supposed to touch it. But every leper comes along. Jesus touched him. You know why? To break the law? No. Whatever he touches, they were healed. They were no longer lepers. You're not supposed to touch the dead. But he touched. Because every dead he touched, they were raised. Something different about him, right? Something different about him. He turned water into wine. Some of you like that, right? And opened the blind eyes, raised the cripples, shriveled hand was raised, raised the dead, and he forgave sins. Who could do that? Not me. Who could do that? Who could forgive sin? Only God. He fed 5,000. 20,000 people with the women and children. And yet he was so compassionate and tender. And around him were marginal people all the time, unlike us. Unlike us. Do you like to be around underprivileged people? People who are deficient, poor, uneducated? Do you like that? You know, we pastors were talking yesterday. Do you like that? You don't you? That's why we try so hard to do well in school, get a best job so that we could go to the suburb. Isn't that what we do? But Jesus was always around the marginal people, underprivileged people, not so popular people, sick, hungry, poor, right? He lived a perfect, sinless life for 33 years. Okay? And he knew no sin, Bible says. But what is he doing then? Why is he being condemned? Okay, this is what you need to understand and believe. Okay? He bore your sin. Your sin. He bore your sin. What does that mean? You dump all your sin upon me. That's what we did. That's what we believe. Would you be able to lift up your head if you did that? Let's say you cheated and you dumped on me. Would you be able to open your mouth in front of me? I don't think you could. He bore our sin. All of it. How many of them? How many of them is that? You count. Right? That's what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He bore our sin, and that place should be mine. I should be hung in there. You should be hung in there. Don't you think? You know. You feel guilty. You should be hung on a tree like that. I should be hung on a tree. But he said, come on down, Paul. Let me replace you. but leave your sin there. I'll bore it. That's what we believe. Right? He became the substitute. Okay? And that's what we believe. Do you believe it? If you believe in the Lord, you will be saved. In other words, if you don't believe, you are standing condemned, the Bible says. Standing condemned. Standing condemned. Okay. Secondly, according to Spurgeon, we believe what he has done. What did he do for us? Jesus, God-man, only God-man in history, in mankind. We're going to talk about this next week. Historicity, you think Jesus was some sort of myth, right? Fairy tale. No, there is fact. And there is proven fact. Historical. All the historians, Roman historians and Jewish historians, Josephus, Eusebius, all these famous historians declare that Jesus was crucified and dead. He was dead and raised. Now, what are you going to do about that? Right? What did he do? He took my sin, he bore my sin, and he was hung on a tree, took the wrath of God upon him. We talked about anger and wrath in Lola. I don't have time for it. But you get angry at people, right? When someone does wrong to you, right? You're angry at your father for the last 15, 20 years. Can you imagine how much wrath was poured upon him? All of us throughout our lives and humanity, wrath of holy God was poured upon him. That's what we believe. That's what we believe. And what did he do? He paid the penalty. He paid the penalty. He just took the punishment and give us new life. New life. Do you have new life, brothers and sisters? Do you have new life? How do you know whether you have new life or not? Couple of things. You could check on it. Your hunger and desire. You'll have a new affection. You begin to hate sin. You don't love sin anymore. You do sin, but you don't love it. Your affection will change. Okay? And second thing, how do you know whether you're saved, you have a new life or not? You begin to desire him and hunger for him. Hunger for his word. If not, probably your life needs to be changed, I would say. Okay? Don't want to give you a false information. Okay? Just lastly, I'm so thankful and confident about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. How about you? Is anybody thankful and confident about Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you say amen? Amen. Praise God. What about you, rest of you? What are you confident of? Seriously. Are you just running on a highway with your eyes closed and you're stepping on a gas? Whatever happens, happens. If the Bible is wrong, Christ is a myth, if everything is all messed up, tangled up, you don't miss much. But if it is pure and if it is true, like C.S. Lewis say, then there's going to be eternal consequence. Eternal consequence. Okay? Just want to show you one last picture. Okay? And this is what you need to remember. You and I will die one day. Do you agree? You don't agree, but still gonna die. You and I are all scheduled to die, but he is alive forever and ever. And he is asking you, if you believe in me, you will never die. Really? If you believe in me, you will never die. And the answer is, really. really. I believe in Christ, just like the sun. Not only because I see the sun, oh, it exists. It's like 10 million miles away from me, and it's very strong, star. I know that exists. No, not like that. But C.S. Lewis saying, because by it, I see everything else. Now that's different, isn't it? That's what it means to believe. How do I see my marriage? How do I see making money? How do I see relationship? How do I see getting married? How do I see sin? How do I see study? I'm so motivated to study. Don't get me wrong. Because he's coming back soon, I don't study and I just do whatever. No. That's wrong thinking. I am going to study so hard this year and try to get my degree done next year. I am. I'm asking you to pray for me. I want to finish it. Okay? So I'm not saying don't study. Study hard, but you have a reason to study. Reason to renounce. And if you believe in the Lord, you'll be saved. You and your household. How's that work? I think that's what the Spirit of God does. When Spirit of God comes upon you, really comes upon you, it'll turn your heart toward your fathers and your children. I think that's how it works. Can we just bow?